few years ago, a US churchgoer wrote to a Christian newspaper with a genuine complaint. "It makes no sense to go to church anymore," he said. "I've gone for 30 years now, and in that time I've heard something like 3,000 sermons. But for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time, and the pastors are wasting theirs in giving sermons at all." This letter, unsurprisingly, sparked a real controversy in the Letters to the Editor column, much to the delight of the editor. It went on for weeks, until someone wrote this clincher that ended the correspondence for good. "I've been married for 30 years now. In that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this. They all nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me those meals, I would be physically dead today. Likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today." True. It's not wasted time sitting in a sermon. We're going to see that this morning. Because the message is not something that's pointless. I worked with a friend many years ago, and he said, "Would you like to come to an evening where I'm giving a lecture to the Historical Society?" So I went along. And it was about, it was very interesting, coins, the half sovereign. Now, I remember one or two bits, but I have to say it's probably not changed my life in any way. Unlike when we come and listen to the Word of God. And we come this morning because preaching is crucial, because the Lord Jesus wants us to preach and to tell about what he did on the cross of Calvary. Remember, he's the one who said it is finished. He's the one who has brought life. And this world has no hope without Christ. And we're going to think of that this morning. And the opportunity of meeting together to tell men and women, boys and girls, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners was relevant 2,000 years ago and is relevant today. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to think about why we should listen to sermons, why we should listen to the Word of God. Now, a preacher was complimented on his sermon by one of his listeners with the words, "That was really good." Quickly, he slipped into a sort of a pose of humble spiritual modesty, and he replied, "Oh, it wasn't me, it was the Lord." And she said, "Oh, it wasn't that good." And we have to be careful. The preacher realizes that they're fallible, failing, and feeble. But we might make a bad fist of it sometimes. You might think that at the end of this sermon. But let us commit ourselves to God for his strength. Preaching is important. Richard Baxter, worth reading about. He was a pastor in Kidderminster many years ago, and he summed it up with these words: "I preached as never sure to preach again, as a dying man to dying men." And you know that's true this morning. We don't know the future. There's been many services where we preach and then someone says, "Oh, did you know so-and-so? They died in the week," or whatever. It's important to listen to the Word of God. And remember, the preachers are called to speak as if speaking the very words of God. So, that's why we preach the Word. And the need to listen to sermons. But you know, just because we preach, it doesn't mean that we just expect everyone to listen. Richard Underwood, who did a survey a number of years ago, he had the results in this way. And he asked the question, what do people look for in a good sermon? Here are the five. Conviction, that the preacher is bringing God's word to the people. You know, if I didn't believe what I'm going to say this morning, I might as well not have got out of bed and gone somewhere else. It is true. And the preachers who preach from here week after week are saying that it is true. What we're saying is absolutely from God, and therefore it is necessary to listen to it and not ignore it. And then clarity. People want the Bible to be explained and applied so that all can understand.
And thirdly, Christ-centered, we might really say firstly, pointing believers and unbelievers toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And challenging with authority, not bringing doubts, but stating what the Word of God says. After all, people have enough doubts of their own. We emphasize this is God's Word and it must be obeyed. And lastly, caring and compassionate. The preachers who preach from this pulpit are not those who are removed. They have the same problems, the same difficulties, and they want to understand, and sometimes out of the understanding of their situation, they can preach and they can reach those in great need. A man called Bob Telford summed it up in this way. He said, good preaching does three things. It interests, informs, and inspires to action those who hear it. W.H. Auden, the poet, said this, a preacher is a person who talks in someone else's sleep. Well, we hope that's not the case this morning. A preacher is someone who is to be listened to, therefore be interesting, is to be understood, therefore be clear, and to be inspiring, be biblical and led by the Spirit. It's important to have that background, because that's not my subject this morning. My subject is listening. Listening to the Word of God. Listening to sermons. I worked it out a little while ago, and I'm sure that I'm not quite, I was probably a bit understating it. I've listened to over 5,000 sermons in my life, at least. And maybe you can add other bits. But it's not wasted, and hasn't been wasted. It's crucial we listen to the Word of God. Now, how should we listen to the Word of God? I was brought up probably not someone who was very much brought up knowing the catechisms. But, you know, as I've gone older, I've learned that there are so many good things in some of the catechisms. And the Westminster Larger Catechism, question 160, summarizes the answer. It's quite a long quote. We'll break it down in a minute. It says this. It is required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Examine what they hear by the scriptures. Receive the truth with faith, love, and readiness of mind as the word of God. Meditate and confer on it in their hearts and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. Quite meaty stuff. But what we're going to look at this morning is we're going to unpick that and we're going to see how we should listen to the Word of God so that it is correctly listening and it is profitable listening. First of all, then get ready for the Word of God. That's yesterday. Then receive the Word of God. That's now, today. And respond to the Word in our lives. That's tomorrow. Think of those three things. Get ready for the Word. That's yesterday. Receive the Word. That's now, today. And respond to the Word in our lives tomorrow. Get ready for the Word. So if the preacher fulfills his responsibility, then it's over to the listeners for their responsibility. When I was young, I was taught oftentimes going to a meeting on a Saturday night, and they would say we need to be in the right state of mind for Sunday, when we meet with the Lord, with other believers. And they would say, therefore, it means you have to be careful what you do on Saturday nights. They would say, don't go to the cinema, etc., etc., all sorts of things not to go to. But they would stress that these things, if they dwell on our mind, they spoil it for the next day. Watching inappropriate films or things on television or whatever it is, or getting caught up in all types of things, we need to begin on Saturday evening. Then we need to prepare for the Sunday with prayer. The Puritan said we should dress our bodies for worship and our souls with prayer. And then a hearty appetite for the Word of God. Do you look forward to Sundays in the week? Is it a special day? It should be, because there we're going to be fed with the Word of God. You might be thinking, I'm looking forward to my lunch. Peter says this, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. How do you tell a hungry baby? You don't need to really do it. They tell you. They realize that their stomachs are empty, so they keep crying until they actually get what they want, which is satisfaction. It is to be fed. Are we like newborn babies? Are we saying, I really need to know more of the Word of God? I need to understand it. I need to apply it in my lives. When you're on the bus to work, or on the train or whatever it is, in the car, you've got a bit of time. Think on maybe the sermon yesterday. Think about what you've heard. Think about the Word of God. Even if you memorize it, maybe tomorrow you can say, it is I, it is written, it is finished. But then, is it important to listen to the Word of God? Someone has said it like this, the high and holy triune God of heaven and earth wants to speak directly to us through his servants. Thomas Boston said this, the voice is on earth, but the speaker is in heaven. We speak the word of God. Cornelius, listening to Peter in Acts 10, said, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. So it's so important, because God is going to speak through his servant. And we remember we're entering a battlefield. So on the Saturday, as we think of coming along here, or wherever it is we're going to go, we're entering a battlefield. And there are many enemies who don't want us to meet together with other Christians. Above all, the devil. He's opposed. And he prevents us from coming. There's all sorts of excuses. In the old days, maybe, oh, it's too cold in that hall. Or it's too hot. Or they keep the windows open, etc., etc. The devil's very good at making excuses for not coming to church. Very good at that. I've had a few excuses. I remember when I was a little bit younger, when I was 14, 15, and I wasn't really very keen on going to church. It's amazing on Sunday morning how ill I was. Incredible. I was also ill on Monday morning as well for chemistry, but that's another point. And, you know, that's it. And maybe what the devil does, he makes something in the world more attractive. It's more of a problem now, isn't it? Sport. If you like sport, what happens on a Sunday? Sports, 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 football, rugby, whatever it is. And if even you're interested and they're never going to get to the Premier League, but you like playing football, well, there might be a game you are asked to go to. There might be an athletics event. All these sorts of things. And we have to decide what is more important. We had a discussion on this in our Bible study on Wednesday night at Arnold Road. And I was saying, it's quite difficult. When I was younger, well, I still am a supporter of Wales in rugby, and our commiserations to England for losing. I hope they came over sincerely. But, you know, a friend of mine who was still a friend of mine was very good at looking after me from the age of dangerous age, I think, from 16 to 23. And they used to take me quite often to listen to conferences, to speakers, and often it was on a Saturday afternoon. And that was all right until it came to the Six Nations, the Five Nations that it was then. And Wales were playing someone very important. And I had to make the decision. What do I do? What's more important? Do I say, well, I can't come, I'm going to watch the game? Or do I go and listen to the Word of God? And we discussed this. A few others had the same sort of problems. And the devil does seek to put things in our way. Puts other people's in our mind. He might say, don't bother going to Shepshed on the 22nd of October. Speaker's no good. I've heard him before. He's no good. And that's often the case, isn't it? The speaker's no good. Or he's just a little bit too old-fashioned or whatever it might be. And sometimes, sadly, I'm not going because so-and-so is going to be there. Sad, isn't it? But it's true. Other people put us off. So we should determine to go, determine to attend, because we should be those who are swift to hear, slow to speak, and like Mary, we keep and ponder God's word and keep it in our hearts. And you know, that's why you've got a tremendous library present. You might not have a library at home, but you have a tremendous library in your head. It is fantastic. Mine is still quite good because I've listened to over 5,000 sermons plus lots of Bible studies. And sometimes if I'm looking at a passage, I can remember when I was a lad sitting in a Bible study and there was a good old argument going on the passage. And it all comes back. And I say, well, it's a pity they had a little argument, but I remember then what was said, the truth of God. And you know, sometimes when you've studied a passage, it comes to you with force many years down the line. So it's important to know the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to imbibe it, because the Lord uses it in all sorts of situations. I'm sure if I went round today and I said, can you give me an instance of when you were in great need and suddenly a verse from Scripture came to you and you used it and it strengthened you for the great difficulty. So we are to be prepared. Get ready. But now receive the word. Here we are today. What do we do when we listen to the word of God? Well, here are some housekeeping issues. Practical, but important. It sounds basic, but vital. We need to concentrate. We have a lady in Arnold Road, and she's not that old. And she sits right in the front. And when you're speaking, you see her. And her eyes fix on you all the way through when you're preaching. Doesn't deviate. Listens. Well, I said to her once, why do you sit at the front? She said, it's the only way I can concentrate. She said, friends have said to me, come over the back. And I then sort of start looking at other things and I can't concentrate. So I sit at the front and I'm able to listen. That's no condemnation, by the way, if you're sitting near the back. But you know what I mean? Some people find it quite difficult to concentrate. So they come to the front and they listen to the word of God. They're able to concentrate on what is being said. Switch your phone off. It's true, isn't it? Don't look at your phone. All these sort of things. Pray that you won't be distracted. The absolute classics are, did I lock the door? Did I lock the car? Nowadays, maybe that's a bit easier. Did I leave the cooker on? Did I leave a window open? All these sort of things, but they do distract. Well, let's think of a positive. Take notes. Quite a few people take notes. I can't do it myself. I've tried, but it doesn't seem to work. But a lot of people do. And they say, well, and I ask them, why do you take notes? It helps me concentrate. Helps me listen. Then we're not only to listen, but we're to listen spiritually. And the first thing is we're to listen seriously. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 says this. Paul went to Berea, and the Bereans received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So when Paul came to Berea, they were very keen. We're going to listen to the word of God. And I reckon they put it a bit like that. No, we're going to listen to the apostle Paul. We're going to listen to the word of God. So they were ready. They were diligent. And they meant business. Because they knew how important it was to know the word of God. And they weren't gullible either. They weren't going to just accept everything they were told. They examined what they heard. Because they searched scriptures daily. Every day they searched the scriptures. They read the word of God to make sure that what they were being taught was true. So, three things we can learn from the Bereans. First of all, we should be eager to hear God speak. After all, if someone said that they are going to hear God speak, and maybe it went on the televisions, it would be a huge story. But we hear God speak when the word of God is read and preached from. But also the second thing is they tested what they heard. They needed to know scriptures and rely on God, but they were given discernment. But thirdly, they applied it to every preacher. So there was the Apostle Paul. And we might say, well, if the Apostle Paul came, I would just accept what he said. The Bereans weren't like that. They said, you're the Apostle Paul. You might have got it wrong. We'll check with the word of God. Do you ever do that? Go home and check what you've been taught and make sure that it's true. Test it and see that it's right. You know, We have many false teachers around us today, and they're easily available on the internet. And they're very clever, they're very attractive, they've got lots of money behind them, they can gather loads of people around them, and people just accept what they say. The hearers just are gullible, and they listen to them, and they just take it. We need to check out what we hear. Now, a lot of people say, I really enjoy, I go on the internet and I listen to so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so. You can probably, if I asked you, you might give me a few names and I might have heard them. I'm more worried sometimes when people give me names and I never heard of them before. Because sometimes you wonder, wonder what they are like. You don't know. So be careful of what you listen to on the internet. And if you come across someone and you think he's good, why didn't you ask someone in the church, have they heard of them? Have they listened? And you might actually mean that you're forcing them that they'll have to listen to it and say, yeah, I've listened to it now and I'd keep away from that. Or, yeah, no, that's fine. You can listen to it. But we have to be careful what we listen to. There are false teachings out there in so many ways. And then submit by faith. Accept, receive with meekness the implanted word. We're not just to listen, we're not just to be great sermon tasters, but we're to say, this is the word of God, I accept what it said and I'm going to apply it to my life. Be prepared to obey the word of God. Many years ago in the church we were in, we had two people came along. He was a Greek Cypriot and his wife was English. He'd come over to the UK many years before, and he'd got saved just recently. And you know, he came along to the church and they caused absolute havoc. Absolute havoc. You know why? They said, if the word of God says it, we do it. And they started applying it. If they had offended someone, they'd go and see them. Or if someone had offended them, they'd go and see them. They'd apply all the scriptures to it. And you know, it was refreshing, but challenging. But right, the word of God is not just to be left on Sunday and say, that was a great sermon. Now do something about it. Apply it and put it to our lives. And another thing, the word of God is not there to try and find a loophole. Many people today, when faced with the truth of scripture, and it's the plain truth of scripture, try and get around it. And they then talk to great theologians maybe. And it's a really complicated argument. We might say, well, I don't understand the argument, but it sounds good. And they've got all the training, so they must be right. Not necessarily at all. And then thirdly, self-examine ourselves. I have done it, so I'm not going to say anyone else has done this, but I have done this. What a wonderful message. That was just right for him. That was just right for her. And yes, that's right. Often it is the case. You think, yeah, that was a message which was absolutely perfect for their situation. But what we should do as well is say, that's perfect for me. The word of God applied to me. And we should be able to say, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm a sinner. And recognize as we listen to the word of God, and maybe we're convicted by it, submit to the word of God. Respond to the word in our lives. So that's the third point. Respond to the word of God in our lives. Many years ago, there was an old preacher who I once or twice came across, a Scottish man living in Wales, and he's told me that this is what he used to do when he was a young man. After he heard a sermon, a message, whatever it was, he didn't stay for long. He went home. And when he went home, he went over the sermon again. And he just went through it. And he wrote it out when he went home so he wouldn't forget it. And he prayed over it because it was so vital to him. And that young man turned out to be a man with great knowledge of the Word of God and a great teacher of the Word of God in his latter life. It's important. Now, when I was younger, I didn't do that. But maybe there are times when it's good to just go home and just think over what we've heard. Maybe write a few things down and make sure we're applying the Word of God to our lives. Thomas Watson said this, we should not let sermons run through our minds like water through a sieve. It's important that we listen and concentrate on the Word of God. I heard another preacher many years ago, a man called Jim Flanagan, and he was from Northern Ireland, and he just emphasized as well, although that's true, we should concentrate, but he said there are times when we just can't concentrate. Just find it very difficult. Maybe there's some circumstance in life making us very difficult to listen. And he gave the example of the old story. He said, a couple of times I used to stand outside the dockyards in Belfast, the shipyards. And he said, in those days, when they came out, all the workmen came out, they did not have checks. They did not have money going into their bank accounts. They had a wage packet. Remember wage packets? Brown wage packets. And they tuck it in the top of their shirt. And he says, once or twice, he said, I watched them all come out. And he said, not all of them, but a few of them, you could see them opening their jacket, touching it, just to make sure it was there. Just to make sure. They didn't open and look at it, but they just to reassure themselves that the money was still there. And you know, sometimes the Word of God is like that, going through great difficulties. But let's listen to the Word of God. We might not take much from it, but it is so clean. It is like a sieve in a sense. Nothing much might stay in that sieve, but it cleans us out. So let's read the Word of God, even in difficult times, and listen to what the Word of God says. Discuss it profitably. When we go home after a sermon, let's talk about it. After the sermon, let's talk about it. Let's focus on what we've heard. And let the family, all the family know, and let them maybe say, well, what point did you have, one point from the sermon this morning that you really enjoyed? I've done that to different people, and sometimes it's a bit of a surprise and not quite what I was expecting. But it's good. It's good to go over what you've heard. I used to go preaching to a place many years ago, and there was a young man there called Andrew. And he had almost like a sort of one-man printing press going, because he'd be taking notes all through the sermon, and he'd be drawing pictures, and at the end of the sermon, he'd come straight up to me, he says, he'd show me all the notes and all the pictures he'd made and everything. And it was wonderful. He had three other brothers, and they didn't do that sort of thing. But he did. And he just found it. So I thought, well, this is good. He's not very old, but he's concentrating on what is being said. But then retain what we hear, respond by doing. A sermon is not over when amen is said. That may be the final part of the sermon, but that's really when the final part of the sermon begins. There's a wife many years ago, who was not able to go to church, and she asked her husband when he came home from listening to a sermon, she said, is the sermon done? When he returned home, she said, no, it has been said, but it is yet to be done. What does James say? James says, be doers of the word and not hearers. How many times have we listened to the word of God and then not done anything about it? Being convicted and thought, well, I'll leave it for a while, and not concentrated on it and applied it to our lives. James says, if all we are is just good sermon tasters, then we're deceiving ourselves. The word of God is to be read, concentrated on, and responded to. And then rest on the Holy Spirit. Let him make the word effective in your life. Don't quench the Spirit, but take heed how we hear. Let Holy Spirit guide us through life. So how do we listen? How do we listen to the word of God? Thomas Watson said this, the world will be effective one way or the other. The word will be effective one way or the other. If the word does not make your hearts better, it will make your chains heavier. Dreadful is their case who go loaded with sermons to hell. Strong, isn't it? But it's true. How many people have gone to many sermons over the years. We don't know who they are. But there are those who have listened and listened and listened. And as far as we know, they never got saved. We had a preacher staying in our home when I was a boy. And he was a Northern Ireland preacher, very strong on preaching. And he mentioned judgment. And we had some neighbours who were coming on to the church. And we invited them and they came. And he was most disappointed one night when he came back home. He said, I preached that it's either heaven or hell. It's either Christ or the devil. You must trust in Christ. And he really preached that strongly. And he says, that lovely couple down the road from you, they came out and they said, thank you very much for the sermon. Totally unaffected. It's crucial. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior this morning, don't just ignore the word of God. What does Thomas Watson say? The word will be effective one way or the other. If it doesn't make your hearts better, it will make your chains heavier. Dreadful is their case who go loaded with sermons to hell. Don't ignore the word of God. Listen to the word of God. If we listen properly to scripture, then we have an example of those who received the word. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. And with this, we'll finish. He commends the Thessalonians and Paul says this, we thank God without ceasing because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. That's our goal, our aim this morning, that you will be those who have received the word of God and not only received it, but it's working effectively in your life, showing out that you belong to Christ and that leading others to say to you, what have you got that I haven't got? And we can lead them to Christ. We trust that will be the case this morning, as we've listened to this sermon, pray that we might respond to the word of God.